Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello, and thanks for downloading Swiss Info's podcast for November the 28th. I'm Thomas Stevens. A remorseful banker and Father Christmas are two characters that people don't believe in who come to life in this week's podcast. And there's also this.
Obviously, it can get quite boring, but now I enjoy it in a strange way.
Find out what that Swiss teenager enjoys in a strange way later. But first, another week in the troubled life of Switzerland's largest bank. On November the 25th, former UBS chairman Marcel Ospel and two other directors waived bonuses worth a total of 33 million francs. Two-thirds was due to Ospel, with the remainder going to former vice president Stefan Henninger and former finance chief Marco Suter. A bank statement said the three men were reacting to their roles and the decisions that have cost UBS more than $40 billion in write-downs and losses over the past year. It added, "The move to forfeit the remuneration is entirely voluntary and should in no way be construed as an admission of guilt in a legal sense." Under Ospel's chairmanship, UBS carried out the aggressive risk-taking strategy in the United States that nearly brought the bank to its knees when the credit crisis hit. Ospel said in a statement, "I hope that my action will help to resolve a situation that was inconceivable to me until a short time ago." 2 days later, UBS shareholders at an extraordinary general meeting in Lucerne voted in favour of a $60 billion rescue package from the Swiss National Bank announced last month. UBS will issue extra shares worth 36.5 million francs to help fund its obligations under the terms of the deal. Some shareholders responded angrily to the news that shares would be further diluted. One compared it to robbing the poor to pay the rich. Others were more supportive of the measures, with this shareholder telling Swiss Info it was a win-win situation.
Having got into hot water, I think this is a good solution to get out of it and make it a win-win. And I certainly hope this is going to work for UBS, which means, you know, it'll work for us as shareholders as well.
A cautiously optimistic UBS shareholder speaking to Swiss Info in Lucerne on November the 27th. A series of snowstorms crashed into Switzerland over the weekend, spilling enough flakes to force some ski areas into digging themselves out for opening day. On November the 23rd, up to 45 centimetres of snow collected on peaks across the country, on top of other storms that have dumped more than a metre of snow in 3 days. Eric Ballet, director of Tele Verbier, the largest ski lift company in French-speaking Switzerland, told Swiss Info,
"In 16 years, it's the third or the fourth time we had so good conditions."
For many ski areas, the snow is already more than twice as deep as average for this time of year, according to the Swiss Institute for Snow and Avalanche Research. Last year, massive snowstorms that dumped more than 120 centimetres of powder helped many of the 300-plus ski areas in Switzerland to open on November the 17th, the snowiest start to the ski season in 55 years. Ballet said things were also looking good for this year.
"As the temperature will be very cold this week, I'm sure we can produce a lot of artificial snow just to ensure the bottom of our ski slope. Now, the ski conditions, I think, are better than last year."
A strong start this year might help get people in the mood to come skiing in Switzerland, but snow isn't the only factor. The recent economic downturn could hurt the number of visitors who come to the country. The winter tourism industry accounts for about 15.5 billion francs, about half of all tourist revenue. Last year, more than 16.8 million people stayed the night in Switzerland during the winter, up 6.2% on the previous season. And now some of this week's lighter news. Christmas is coming, Swiss teenagers are getting fat. And if you want to book a Father Christmas, you're going to have to hurry, according to Swiss Father Christmas associations. On November the 23rd, Patrick Wilborn in Winterthur said that within 2 minutes of announcing their availability, all their Santa Clauses, or Sammeklauses, as they say in Swiss German, were snapped up for December the 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas. This, rather than December the 24th, is when Sammeklaus does the rounds and children wake to find the boot they put out the night before filled with oranges, nuts and cookies. The situation was the same in Zurich. "We're almost fully booked between December the 4th and 7th, said Dulf Hitz from the Zurich City St. Nicholas Association. "Plus, we're really short of drivers," he moaned, before adding that children unable to see Sammeklaus in person could call him on his Klaus phone, I'm not making this up, and chat to the man himself for a couple of minutes. In Winterthur, Phil Born said next year should be better following a successful advertising campaign for Schmutzlies. Schmutzli is Santa Claus's grubby sidekick, who carries a stick and basically plays bad cop to Santa Claus's good cop. However, this wouldn't solve the Santa Claus shortage, Wilborn said, as it takes a couple of years before Schmutzlies get promoted to Santa Claus. On November the 25th, things took a serious turn for the worse for Farazi, a baby hippopotamus at Basel Zoo, who last month bounced into Swiss hearts and headlines thanks to a series of admittedly quite cute photos. The zoo revealed it would soon run out of room for Farazi, and that unless another home for him could be found, he'd be killed, minced, and fed to other animals. Putting down surplus animals is a common occurrence in zoos, but that didn't stop tabloid papers from whipping sentimental readers into a frenzy. 700 people had soon signed a Facebook site calling for Farazi to be saved. In Germany, animal rights organisation PETA demanded Farazi be released into the wild, an idea which the zoo quickly shot down as being naive. Now it's time for Out and About. Swiss piano prodigy Theo Georgiou first came to attention in 2006 when he starred in the award-winning Swiss film Vitus, in which he performed Schumann's Piano Concerto in A minor. The 16-year-old returned to the studio this month to re-record the concerto, not having played it since his film performance. Andrew Littlejohn met Georgiou at his music school near London to find out how his technique has developed.
I can't remember the details how I played it when I was 12, but I can tell that I have evolved quite a lot and I understand the music much better, and I kind of saw all these different possibilities, whereas when I was 12 I only saw one possibility and I kind of played it. Wasn't a bad choice, like a bad possibility the way I was playing it, but now I saw these new ideas. For example, here. I did before, going forward, crescendo way, I'll play again. But then I saw, with help from the conductor as well, who I recorded with, that actually can also work that way. That's an example I can actually remember.
When you've got free time, you'll go off to one of these study rooms and start preparing. How do you prepare yourself for a performance?
Whatever program I've got, I tend to go through it slowly, because then the brain picks it up better as well, and definitely left hand alone as well as right hand, because then the brain's more aware of everything, what the left hand and the right hand's doing. When I was younger, I was quite lazy because I didn't like practicing slowly, because obviously it can get quite boring. But now I enjoy it in a strange way. I really like practicing slowly as well as hand separately.
Do you think your talent is natural?
I think I have a certain amount of talent, but also it's a lot of hard work, because talent just helps you picking up things quicker, and you have to be able to understand the music. I think it's really important, because you have to try and understand the whole structure of the piece.
Do you think you'd have had the same opportunity had you stayed in Switzerland?
I'm very lucky to have Mr. Fung as my teacher, and I have done since I joined this school. And I guess I wouldn't be where I am now without the school and him. So I don't think so.
Obviously, you love your piano, but you've got other interests.
I really enjoy football. I think it's a really contrasting change to the piano, but I need to get my energy out somehow. And I started quite late. I only started when I was 11 or something.
Do you have to be careful with football or any sports?
You always have to, yeah, because obviously these are your assets. But nothing's ever happened to me in sport. Funnily enough, the one thing which did happen, and a little accident on the hand, happened when I fell down the stairs. So, you know, we're all musicians here. We all know that. Well, our hands, even if you're a trumpeter or wind player, whatever, you need your hands and you need to be careful and stuff, but it's no problem. Doesn't mean we don't go in for the tackle, though.
You're coming to a point in your life where you've probably been abroad more than you've been back in Switzerland. Do you feel slightly estranged towards Switzerland?
I kind of feel at home wherever I go, really. I don't know. Switzerland's still home in a way. I still go there for my holidays, but I don't know if home is anywhere. I mean, obviously my parents live there, so maybe that is home. I don't feel British, I don't feel Swiss. Maybe Romanian a bit, because, you know, I am Romanian-blooded, but I've never been there. I think it's quite nice, really. Bit of a free spirit.
Teo Gheorghiu, talking to Andrew Littlejohn. Thanks for listening. Learn more about these stories at swissinfo.ch. Turn on, tune in, and download again next week for more Swiss news and views. I'm Thomas Stevens.